All right, welcome to Ed Show number 72. Today in the news, in case you haven't heard, we announced when we are going to be releasing Windows Server 2012 R2, as well as System Center 2012 R2, and a Windows 8.1 client. October 18th, that's the big day. So now you can start to plan and think more around that date inside your organization. Next up, we have a new white paper that is related to Active Directory Rights Management Services. We've released quite a few number of enhancements to this service, including a connection to Windows Azure Active Directory. For those of you who don't use Active Directory Rights Management Protection, it is a great way in order for you to protect your sensitive data and files no matter where that data resides. Really enables you another layer of protection, especially with the whole trend of people using any kind of device they want. And with some of the new enhancements that we have, you definitely want to check it out. And this white paper that we've released helps you walk through some of the different scenarios that you may use the service for and how you might work with the service. And last but not least, we have an article on Windows Azure availability of some new features. One of those is SQL Always On support. For those of you who are SQL folks, having the ability to have disaster recovery and high availability for SQL, especially in Windows Azure Infrastructure as a Service and your virtual machines up there, now that that's supported, you have a real easy way to do those DR and high availability scenarios into our data center using Windows Azure Virtual Machines. We also have the general availability of the notification hubs. One of the cool things there is, Bing actually uses this service for the Bing apps, while sending you out notifications to any kinds of mobile devices that you have inside of your organization. You can utilize this service, and we have a free tier for that as well, for up to 500 messages for users that are out there. And it's really good across platform too. So it'll work on notifications across iOS, Android, and Windows phones. Autoscale, we have some new enhancements to that. And stay tuned for the interview there, because that's who we're going to be interviewing and talking more about the autoscale enhancements. And then the other two things is we have virtual machines. We have some new enhancements to load balancing ports. So a couple things there is, it used to be you have HTTP, and just that's kind of your basic query. We now allow you to do more customized logic of, do you want to do HTTP or TCP, and do you want to have private ports and public ports to kind of do that custom testing with availability for load balancing inside of your organization. So with that, stay tuned, and we will have a technical interview here on Autoscale. All right, I am joined by a Autoscale expert, as I like to say.
Yep.
So could you tell folks about who you are and what you do at Microsoft?
Sure. My name is Steven Siciliano. I'm a senior program manager here at Microsoft, and I've been working on this cool Autoscale feature you see behind me for the past few months. It's pretty exciting. I'd like to share it right now.
Yeah. So, I see you got a slide up there on how the Autoscale works. Seems like there's all kinds of ways, right, you could do Autoscale.
Yep.
But let's just dig right in. What is the role of how things work there with Autoscale?
Sure. So, in this example, this is scale by CPU. We support many different metrics. So, you could support by service bus queue depth or by CPU percentage, depending on what you want to do with your service. But for scale by CPU, we basically just have this flow that we go through every few minutes to check on your service, and if we determine that you need to scale, we'll scale you. So this shows all the checks that we do. So the first thing we do for autoscale is we make sure everything is running okay. If it isn't running, then we'll hold off, wait another 5 minutes, and make sure everything is working again then. Once we check that, we let the user define what the minimum and maximum is for their service. So if they always want to have between 5 and 50 instances, then they can set that range. And we'll just keep them inside that range at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So if for some reason they're outside that range, we'll just take them directly to that range right away.
Okay.
And then once we've made sure that that's the case, we look at the target CPU that the person has defined. So what that does is that makes sure that your CPU is always right around the area that you want. So a lot of people do 60% to 80%. So they want their machines to always have about that much CPU. So if they're already inside that range, we don't need to do anything, right? So we just wait and check again a little later.
So is there any reason why you wouldn't want to like max out the CPU, like, or the get a little bit closer to that, you know, 100% range?
Yeah. So if you put it at 100%, then your machine might become unresponsive, so you wouldn't actually be able to handle a request as efficiently as possible. So we generally don't recommend that people put it at 100%. You may have a specialized workload where it's okay to run at 100%, but in general, 80 or 90% should be the max that you set it at.
Yeah, 90 is, you know, probably a little closer to that limit, but once you start getting 90 plus, then who knows, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, all right.
So then we also offer the ability to adjust how frequent actions are taken. So we set something called a cooldown, which is I want to take an action no more than every 20 minutes. So we check that, make sure that it hasn't been, you know, 10 minutes since the last action. And then if everything's good, we'll take a scale up or scale down action if we need to keep you inside the target CPU range.
What are some good general best practices around the cooldown time and like what to set there?
So the default is set to 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Generally, if you put it much lower than 20 minutes, you're not going to see actions actually taken that frequently because it takes 10 to 15 minutes to deploy new instances. Mm-hmm. So if you could put it, say, as low as 5 minutes, that doesn't mean the action will be taken every 5 minutes. But if somehow something managed to deploy quickly, it will.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
And on the max end, you know, if you want to take an action only once every 2 hours, you can do that. But generally, we recommend keep it a bit smaller so that way you have more actions.
Yeah, kind of just from your knowledge and time of testing this stuff, 20 seems to be a good balance there.
Yep.
For adjusting on the fly on a way that that makes sense for folks. Okay.
Yep.
So then it says wait 5 minutes. Okay, so then what's going on with the 5 minute wait?
So that's what we do on our side. We wait 5 minutes. So if we've just taken a scale action, we'll wait 5 minutes to see if your deployment has finished. If we're, you know, just checking, because first we take your instance count. So we move you directly to inside that range, and we'll wait 5 minutes to make sure you're actually inside that range. And then we'll check again, say, oh, what's your CPU now? So basically, that's the kind of the timer that we build into our system to make sure that everything kind of has a little bit of time to equilibrate after each action we take.
Yeah. If you get it, I'm guessing you get it too low, like every 5 seconds, then you start doing things that don't necessarily need to happen anyway, right?
Yeah. Okay. So one of the reasons we chose 5 minutes is the metrics that we collect are in 5 minute intervals. So if you go to the portal and you see all those dots on those graphs, that's every 5 minutes.
Okay.
So it wouldn't really make a lot of sense to do something every 2 minutes if we don't have data.
Right. You gotta do with what the data you have, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, this is a great chart for people to start with, but of course we got to see it in action, right? So what can we scale, and can you dig in here and show us it?
Sure. So we'll start off with scaling for websites. So when I go to a website, this is a free website I just created. You may notice that there's an autoscale status section down here on the dashboard. This will be present on anything that can autoscale. So for every resource, there's one here. Now, for websites, we only support autoscale for standard. So if you're already free, you know, it doesn't really make sense to autoscale because where are you going to scale? You only have one instance. It's free, right?
Right.
But if you're in your standard, now you're actually paying for that compute, so you're going to want autoscale. So for websites, we support autoscale by CPU. So just click on CPU, and that will give you kind of two new sliders that you can adjust. So you can set that instance count range that I was talking about that will always keep you within, and the target CPU range. So here, I'll just adjust this instance count range to be, say, between 2 and 8, and target CPU to being 60 and 80. So I'm going to click Save. And because I'm switching from free to shared, it'll ask me to upgrade. So now what it's going to do is it's going to set up that timer that runs that does the autoscale calculations. And it'll take a few minutes, but I'll show you once it's done. So while this is waiting for autoscale to kick in, I'll move on to virtual machines, the next resource that I'll show. So to show autoscale for virtual machines, you can see here I've set up 3 virtual machines that are my legacy application. They're all part of the same cloud service. So to configure autoscale for virtual machines, I actually just click on the cloud service that those VMs are inside.
Okay. And then you have, I noticed you had 3 instances there. I mean, it's kind of weird, I think, for some IT pros, because scaling virtual machines, right? I mean, we understand how to scale up in that you check the drop-down box, go from, you know, extra small to large or medium or whatever. But it sounds like, I mean, this is going to multiple instances. So how does that really work? I mean, can you explain that?
So the way it will actually work is once I turn this on, across all of the instances, if it sees that the load is low enough, it'll actually just turn them off. Okay. So if I, say, have three instances, it'll go down to two instances by turning the third instance off. And since you don't have to pay for instances that are stopped, you get to save money.
Okay, and you could go the opposite way too, right? I mean, you could have these instances, if you need to scale up more, you could fire on the other instances that are there.
Yep.
So it would just be turning off and on VMs, right? Or would it do the scale for the load on the VM itself as well? Would you?
So it just turns on and off VMs.
Okay.
That does mean in advance, if you think at your max capacity you'll need three VMs, you need to create the three VMs.
Okay, and have those all working so that they can turn on and work in that state.
Yeah. Yep,
okay.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Cool. So to actually set it up, you go to the scale tab for those VMs, and you click on scale by CPU. So when you scale by CPU, it gives you the same types of settings that you saw on websites, right? So you can say the range of instances and the target CPU range. So here I'll just say I want between one and three instances. The max is set at three because that's how many instances I have total.
And so if you added another VM to the availability set, then you'd see four there.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. And also if I had two availability sets for this cloud service, I would set the rules up for them independently.
Okay.
It uses the availability sets in order to set that up. So what's going to happen now is I'm going to hit the save button, and it's going to start saving these virtual machine settings. It reloads the page, and you see now those settings are saved. Everything is turned blue. So now it says autoscale is configured and running in the summary up top. What happens is it looks at the CPU. Now, if I go to the monitor tab, I can see the CPU across all of my machines. And you'll see that the CPU load has recently dropped. So you see it was up as high as 40%, but now it's actually pretty low. So I have all of these machines running. I don't need them all to be running. So autoscale will turn off one of the VMs now.
That monitor percentage, is that across all three? Or is that an average across all three instances? Or is that, you know, per a particular one?
Autoscale takes the average across all of the instances.
Okay.
These lines are one for each instance.
Okay.
So you can see now that it's making a deployment operation. That's it turning off that VM that it doesn't need anymore. So once this operation is complete, there'll be two instances.
And where can people go to get a history of the autoscale actions?
So if you go to the operation logs, that contains all of the operations that happen in your service, including autoscale. In this case, you can see here that it just took an autoscale action for the virtual machine availability set. If I click on this, I can get more details and see the new instance count is 2 and the old instance count was 3.
Okay. One other question here. I mean, can you have it scale up by an even greater number of instances? Let's say you wanted to scale by 4 or more instances, or down by 4 or whatever.
Sure. So if you navigate directly to the scale tab, you can see at the bottom there's actually controls that allow you to adjust the scale up by step. So here, if I wanted to scale up by, say, 3 instances, I could just enter that here. And it would add 3 instances at a time. Now, it doesn't make a lot of sense here since I only have 3 instances total.
Right.
But if I have 50 instances, that's an easy way to make sure I can get, you know, across my entire instances.
Okay, that makes sense. All right. So we've seen so far, just kind of a quick recap, we've seen scaling websites by CPU. And then we've seen scaling virtual machines by instance count. What else? What other tricks do you have up your sleeve here?
So the other thing that we like to autoscale a lot is cloud services.
Okay.
So I have set up a cloud service here. Oh, let me discard that. I've set up a cloud service here, and this cloud service has two separate roles. It has a web role, and it has a worker role. So for the worker role, we take messages off of a storage account queue and process them and then take an action. For the web role, that is just a regular website that sits on the internet and handles traffic all day. So for the web role, I'm going to set up scheduled autoscale. So this is a feature that we just released a couple weeks ago. And I start it by clicking on the setup schedule times. So for schedule times today, we support two different profiles, a day profile and a night profile. So I say that's the model I want to use. Eventually, we'll add other types of models here. So you could have, say, a weekday and a weekend profile. Then you get to choose when your day starts and when your day ends. So you know, I don't like working a lot, so I'm going to say 9 to 5.
This could be good, too, if you want to cut people off from working at a certain time for some reason. You know, you would say, I don't want my developers to develop after 5 p.m. That's just to go home. I don't know.
Exactly. Or your users. Tell them not to use your website.
That's right.
And you can choose a time zone, of course. So if you're on the East Coast, you can do that, too. Now I have two separate profiles. So I have a daytime profile and a nighttime profile. So for daytime, I'm going to want more instances. So I'll say three instances. And at night, I'm going to want only one instance. So what this will do is when it hits 5 p.m. every day, it'll scale down from three instances to one instance. And when it hits 9 a.m. the next day, it'll scale back up. Now, for the worker role, that uses that storage account to determine how much work it has. So I'm going to auto-scale that by queue. So for auto-scaling by queue, you first choose the account that contains all of your work. So in this case, it's the same storage account for this cloud service. And I have a few different queues here. So I have failures, orders, support requests. So I want this to handle all of the orders in my queue. Now, this target per machine determines how much work each instance can handle. So if, for example, I had, say, 10,000 messages in my queue, and I had a target per machine of 2,000, then it would try to scale me to about 5 machines, right? Because that's 10,000 divided by 2,000. Mm-hmm.
Now, you would have to do the math yourself roughly on what how many you need per queue order, right?
Correct. Okay. So it's really highly dependent on how much work your worker role does. So I mean, you could have, say, one worker role could do one item in a queue per hour, or it could do a million items per hour. Depends on how much work you have.
Okay.
So for this service, I'm going to say 50. Each worker role can handle 50. Now, I know I just checked separately that I have about 250 items in my queue. So when I hit save, it's going to save the autoscale settings. And once autoscale runs, it should actually scale me up because I have 250 items in my queue. I have 50 items per machine, so that means it's going to want to scale me up to about 5 machines. Currently, I'm only at 2.
Okay, so right now you have it scale up by 1, so it should relatively quickly here scale up by 1. And then wait another 5 minutes or so, and then scale it by another one.
So in this case, I've set my cooldown to be 20 minutes. So it actually would wait 20 minutes before it scaled up again. So here, why don't I just adjust this up a little? I'll scale up by 3 instances at a time, and we should see it scale directly from 2 to 5.
Okay.
So you can see here, it's now deploying. So it's figuring out what to do. And once this is completed, I may not have actually caught it before it did the scale, so it may have only scaled by 1.
Okay.
But now we can just wait and see what happened.
So I noticed that there was queue for cloud services, mm-hmm. and there was queue for virtual machines. I obviously for a queue for a cloud service, it's going to be something that your application, your developer has written a queue for the worker roles inside the app.
Mm-hmm.
For virtual machines, what does that mean?
So yeah. That scenario is a bit less common. Oftentimes, you will have virtual machines that run older apps. But if you do have an older app that is starting to use new technologies, like, say, Service Bus, you can plug that right into your virtual machine and use it there.
Okay, so yeah, if you wrote something custom for your virtual machine to connect to Service Bus that has a queue,
yep.
Now you would use that. So it's kind of a merge of the old and the new together.
Exactly.
Okay, I gotcha. All right. So yeah, it seems like, you know, like the scheduled scale would be good when you just know that always there's going to be a load, so you don't have to have that delay of cooldown and that variable instance, right? And then
yep.
You have within that the granularity of scaling up and scaling down outside of the scheduled times.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, you can, if you want, you can have CPU and schedule queue at or scheduled times. So if you want to scale during the day, based on what your CPU is, but you also just want a flat instance count at night, you could do that, for example.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much. This is really cool stuff. And this is a lot of power for folks to scale to meet the demands of, you know, their websites, cloud services, virtual machines, and save money. I noticed the little pop-up there, saving percentages of money. So that's something that, you know, you as the IT guy is probably a good thing when you can go, you know, go in and start saving the company money. So thanks so much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, hopefully you enjoyed that interview on AutoScale. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback for us, you can contact us in a number of different ways. You can join our Facebook page, or you can tweet us at TNEdge, or you could send us an email to edge@microsoft.com. Stay tuned.